As you know, Israel has committed a great iniquity against the Lord, a great rebellion. They urged Aaron to make for them a golden calf, and then they danced around that calf, and God was angry. In fact, God said, I'm going to wipe them all out, Moses, and I'm going to raise up a new nation from you. And Moses said, Lord, don't do that. Lord, these are your people. They're not my people. They're your people. And then Moses, later he offered a sacrifice on behalf of the people. And then in chapter 33, God told Moses, he said, you'll still go to the promised land. The children of Israel will still enter into the land of promise. And I'm going to drive out all their enemies. And Israel will go in and they'll live in the land of milk and honey. But let me tell you this, I'm not going with you. My presence isn't going with you. And that fact, that caused the people to weep. The scripture says in verse 4, and when the people heard these evil tidings, it greatly afflicted them in their souls. This is not good news. It's not good news to hear God's not with you. That's not good news. It was to them evil tidings. And when they heard this, they began to mourn. They began to weep. Their hearts are broken. And therefore, in obedience to God, they shed their fancy jewelry, their festive clothing. They got rid of that, and they humbled themselves before God, dressed no doubt in sackcloth, putting ashes upon their heads. They mourned. To hear that God is not going with you, that's a reason to mourn. That's a reason for grief. Because you see, if God isn't with you, if he isn't with us, if he isn't with me, we know God is love. Well, that leaves nothing but hatred. We know God is light. That means we'll be left in darkness. God is joy. That means we'll be left with broken hearts. God is salvation. If he's not with us, there is no salvation. There is only condemnation. Well might the people of Israel weep. I'll tell you, somebody else that hit real hard is Moses. And he said this down in verse 15. He's speaking to the Lord, and he says in verse 15, if thy presence go not with me, well, carry us not up hence. Don't want to go. I know you've said you're going to drive out the enemy, but of what good is a land for us to live in with no enemies, but no God, no presence of deity? I know, Lord, you've said it's a land of milk and honey. It's a land of wealth. It's a land of prosperity. But Lord, that means nothing if you're not with us. I don't even want to go. If you don't go with us, we're not going. But it's such a beautiful land. means nothing if God's not with us. But there's an abundance of good things in that land. What is all the goodness of this world without God? It hit Moses' heart. He said, if thy presence go not with us, we're not going any further. We'll forget that land. You know, in some ways, the land of Canaan, the promised land, is a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the joys that await the people of God. But I'll tell you, who wants to go to heaven if our Lord isn't with us? And if he's not there, what's the use in going? Who wants to go? Oh, but it's got streets of gold, the walls of jasper, the gates of heaven, all the holy angels, the blissfulness that will last forever. Well, what's all that without the Lord? I hear people talk about heaven, going to heaven. Not any of you like this. But I hear others, false preachers, preach about heaven. And they'll talk about meeting mom and daddy in heaven and all the joys of heaven, all the happiness of heaven, not going to be sick anymore, going to wipe away all tears from their eyes and no more disease and all of that. They scarcely mention the name of Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. That place called heaven, it's not going to be heaven if Christ isn't there. You see, his presence makes it to be the land of promise, the land of rest. Well, I'm not interested in going to heaven if the Lord's not with me and if he's not going to be with me there. Now, you can talk about all the family reunions you want to in heaven and all of that sort of stuff, but it all means nothing if the Savior's not there. We're not looking for family reunion. We're not looking for mama and daddy or husband or wife or brother or sister or a son or daughter. We're looking for him. He's all. Heaven is wherever the Lord Jesus is, that's heaven. That's heaven. And Moses said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to the promised land. You go ahead and drive out all of the enemies, Lord. But if the enemies aren't there and you're not there, I have no interest in going any further. I know it's a land of milk and honey. We've been promised that. But the joy of heaven, hear me now, that joy of heaven is to see and to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And join with all the saints of God singing, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who has redeemed us to God by thy blood, salvation to our God and unto the Lamb. That's what we want. That's what we want in heaven, to see him, to be with him forever and ever. We want his presence now. We want his presence always. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's with us. He's with us this morning. He's with you, child of God. And he'll always be with you. And one of these days, he's going to take you up to where he is now, and you will forevermore be with the Lord. Oh, the vital presence of the Lord. No wonder David said in Psalm 51, verse 11, he said, after he confessed his sin to the Lord, he said, Cast me not away from thy presence. Don't do that. Take everything from me. And of course, the Lord did take his baby. But take all my possessions. Take everything I've got. But don't take your presence away from me. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, John saw our Lord Jesus, the glorified Son of God. He saw him standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Where is he to be found? Where is his presence? Wherever his people meet. But it's no use in meeting if he's not going to meet with us. If that presence go not with us, Moses said, we don't want to go any further. Notice again there in verse 14, it says, my presence, which is quite literally my faces. That is, Moses is interested in God going with him, God the Trinity. You notice in verse 14, God said, my presence, it shall go with you. And I'll give you rest. There's no rest unless the Lord is with us. The Savior said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Rest from your burden of sin. Rest from a guilty conscience. Rest knowing that all is well with a holy God because of the faithfulness of the Son of God, your substitute and Savior. He says, my presence shall go with thee, my faces. As though saying, God the Father will go with you. God the Son will go with you. God the Spirit will go with you. My faces. You who are the redeemed of God. You who have been quickened by the Spirit of grace. Brought to repentance toward God in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all of your hope. He's all of your confidence. He's all of your righteousness. He's all of your salvation. God the Father is with you. God the Son is with you. God the Spirit is with you. God the Father is with you because you're one of His children. He'll never forsake one of His children. God the Son is with you because He's your representative. In fact, God put you in Christ before the world began. You're one with Him. What God has joined together, nobody can put asunder. You're one with Christ Jesus. Why, sure, He's with you. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. God the Father's with you because you're His child. God the Son is with you. He's your Savior. You're united to Him. You're one with Christ Jesus. And God the Spirit is with you. The Lord said, I'll take up my abode in that person who believes me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is, Christ not only in you, but with you. And the Spirit with you. Consider just three things this morning. Number one, the doctrine of the very presence of God. You know, we say of God, God is omnipresent. Well, we know what it means to be present. What does omni mean? It means all. He's all present. He's everywhere, in other words. God cannot be bound or limited by time, by space. He's everywhere. Jeremiah said, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Quoting the Lord. The Lord said, I fill heaven and earth. He didn't say I'm to be found throughout heaven and earth. He said, I fill it. I fill it. I fill it to the full. My presence. His presence is essentially present throughout all of his vast creation. If he's God, and he is, he must be somewhere, but since he's spirit, he's not confined as we are to one location. He's therefore everywhere. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent by his power. As he made all things, so he keeps everything going. He sustains all things. There's nowhere in all of his vast creation where his power is not actively working. That's what our Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5. My Father worketh hitherto and I work. How does God work? By his power, by his might, by his providence. And God is everywhere by his authority, by his purpose. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and earth and in all deep places. He's the king who is present throughout his kingdom. Earthly kings can only be in one location at one time. An earthly king may have a vast kingdom, but he doesn't know what's going on out there to miles and miles away because he's not there. He's in the palace. But our God, his kingdom is over all, and he rules over all, and he knows everything that's going on in his kingdom because he's everywhere. He's everywhere by his knowledge. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:12. He's everywhere, therefore he has an infinite, unlimited knowledge of everything and everybody, and that includes you and that includes me. Now, to think of his infinite knowledge of me brings forth a twofold reaction from me. Number one, embarrassment. He's always with me, so he knows every thought, every motive, every word spoken, every dream. That embarrasses me. It should embarrass you. He knows what nobody else knows about you, because he knows you inside and out. He knows every thought, every foolish word, every action that doesn't have his honor and glory as the motive for doing it. He knows. It's embarrassing. It's what it is. Lord, I'm sorry. But it is not only embarrassing. It is comforting to the child of God. Our Lord asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Whew, he had done some awful things. Well, he denied that he even knew the Lord. Cursed his name. Embarrassment. Shame. But he found comfort in this. Lord, thou knowest all things. You know that deep down in my heart, I do love you. When I think of how feeble my faith is, more times than not, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. But when I think of the fact that God has given to me a good hope through grace, He's led me to cast my soul with all of its sinfulness and corruption on the only Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus, fully dependent upon His bloody sacrifice to put all of my sins away. And I really do believe it. I don't believe Him like I ought to. Don't believe Him like I want to. Don't believe Him like I'm going to. I don't love Him like I want to. Don't love Him like I ought to. Don't love Him like I'm going to. But Lord, Thou knowest all things. You know I love You. That gives me comfort. Lord, You know. You know. This omnipresence of the Lord then is a loud call to humility. Oh, we fall down in our hearts before such a great God who's everywhere. And yet, He condescends to be with us. Isn't that something? The Lord made and owns all things. He's everywhere. But He especially makes His presence known to His people individually. That's so humbling. And the omnipresence of the Lord is a powerful reminder of how much we need Christ Jesus. We sing that song sometimes. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. I need You every hour of every day, every minute of every hour. I need His grace. I need His mercy. I need His power. I need His righteousness. I need His love. I need His continual gift of grace in me. I need Him. I need Him. You need Him? I need Him. And I say with Moses, Lord, if Your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go any further. I just stop right here. What's the use of living if you live without Christ Jesus? What's the use of living? Life has no meaning. Life has no purpose. And thank God, He said, my presence will go with you. My faces will go with you. Boy, that's comforting words right there. And I'll tell you what, the omnipresence of the Lord, that serves a very strong consolation in times of trouble and trial. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen, our whole life's journey is a walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet David said, I'll fear no evil. Well, what's the reason? You're brave? You're courageous? You're going to fight off all your enemies? He said, no, here's the reason. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thy rod, Thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord's with you, child of God. When Jeremiah was threatened by the religious leaders of his day, the Lord said to him in Jeremiah 1:8, be not afraid of their faces. I'm with you to deliver you. Paul was in Corinth. Evidently, something happened. Somebody said something, caused him a little grief and caused him a little fear. The Lord said, I'm with you. Don't be afraid of any of them. No man's going to set on you to hurt you. I have much people in this city, so don't be afraid. Just preach the gospel. To the sons of Jacob, the Lord says, fear thou not. for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'll strengthen you. I will help you. In fact, I'll hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness. Then quickly, the second thing is, let's consider the real bodily presence of our Savior. He came to this earth in a real body, having a real soul. He was present in this world. From his birth to his ascension, he was present here. A body thou hast prepared me, he said. Psalm 40. While born of a virgin, he lived in this world. He grew up from a baby to a youngster, from a youngster to a teenager, from a teenager to a young man, from a young man to full adulthood, present in this world. And yet all the while, he remained God. No wonder David said, such knowledge is too wonderful to me. I can't grasp it. I can't fathom God. A skeptic said to a believer, well, I want you to tell me about your God. Is your God great or is your God little? Is he big or is he little? And the poor child of God said, he's so great that he fills the universe. And yet he's so very small. He can dwell in the heart of a poor old sinner like me. That's my God. Behold, our Savior lived in that body. And behold, our Savior died in that real body. Sin's just consequences is death. The wages of sin is death. He died. Why did he die? Because he took all the sins of all of his people upon himself. In fact, he'd been responsible for them from before the foundation of the world. Christ died for our sins. That's why he took flesh and blood into union with his Godhead. Make no mistake, while he was on this earth, while he was living and when he was dying, he was still the God-man. As God, he was still everywhere. He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He talked about the Son of Man who is even in heaven. He's standing there in front of Nicodemus and said, well, the Son of Man is in heaven. Don't you know that blew his mind? He said, well, how can that be? Well, we can't comprehend it. But we believe him. We believe him. In that body he died. In that body he arose. In that body he ascended. And in that body he's present with the Lord at his right hand, representing us. In that body he rules and reigns as king. And in that body he's coming back someday, and every eye shall see him. The angel said to the disciples, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven as you see him go up into heaven? This same Jesus, he's going to come again in like manner if you've seen him go. And then, finally, the real spiritual presence of Christ is with us always. When we die, what does that mean? It means to be absent from the body and guess what? Present with the Lord. We'll be in his presence. He's been with us by his Spirit all along, ever since conversion, since he quickened us by his mighty power. And then at his pleasure and according to his will, he takes us home unto himself where we shall see him as he is. We'll be in his presence. He's with his people on earth where two or three are gathered together. He said, I'll be in the midst. I expect there's people watching this morning, two or three people together, watching this, even one person meeting with us in worship. Don't you get discouraged. He's with you too. I wish I could be a part of a congregation. I wish I could be there with y'all. Well, right now, providential hindrances prevent that. But if you're a child of God, if you're an heir of grace, if you're one of the redeemed ones, you've been regenerated by the Spirit of God and brought to cast your soul upon the Lord Jesus Christ, mark it down. He's with you. He's present with you wherever you go. He's with us individually. He's with us in the time of trial. Fear not. I'm with you. I'm with you. This past Friday, I had a funeral of a dear lady who I never met, but some of you remember her. She attended here for about 10 years. Never met her. The Lord revealed the gospel to her. Family was telling me some of the words that she had to say, and it was so encouraging to me, the words that they related that she had spoken. I was thinking, you know, I never had an opportunity to meet her. I didn't know her. But the Lord knew her, and the Lord was with her. And though she moved many miles away, her family moved her miles away to live nearer to them, where she went, the Lord went with her. The Lord went with her. Wherever you go, wherever a child of God goes, the Lord is with him. He's present with us through our life's journey. Thank God for the presence of the Lord. And it's one thing to be like the children of Israel and weep over the fact that the Lord said, I'm not going with you. But that's not nearly as powerful as what Moses said. If your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not going. I'm not going. But if your presence is with me and he assures all of his people that it is, I can go anywhere. I can face anything. I can face disease. I can face COVID. I can face death. And I can face God if Christ is with me. Makes all the difference, doesn't it?